And welcome back to the Upstage. It's Jared's Media Boy Eli.
It's me, Joe.
And we're here to talk about Blue Beetle, the long-awaited new superhero movie from DC. And I think this is the second one, right?
You mean the second one this year, yes.
Yes. The second one that came out this year, because the first one was Flash, and I think that's the only one left, right?
Yeah, I believe the new Aquaman comes out next year?
That sounds about right.
And, I mean, if you've been trying to keep up with the state of the DC Cinematic Universe stuff, yeah, it's a bit...
It's weird.
Yeah, it's a bit all over the place, but as far as we can understand, Blue Beetle is supposed to be, like, part of the new continuity that James Gunn and
Peter Safran,
and Co. are doing now. Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Yeah. And this, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about this movie. Not in a negative sense, but in, like, oh, I hope this does well. Because there's been a lot of talks recently about how it might not do great, but I feel like it'll do fine.
Yeah, a lot of those early box office projections that sometimes come out, and a lot of them have been sort of saying that Blue Beetle might be a flop.
And people are like, oh, is that going to affect the, like, I think it'll be fine. We won't know until when it happens, but I trust the people at, you know, at DC right now, with James Gunn and Peter and all those guys over there. And, I mean, unless you're, like, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
That's a different story entirely. Yeah, but no, so, we just came back from watching the movie. The way we tend to do this, for those of you who are new here, we like to give a one-minute thought on the movie. Usually, like, a one-minute review or kind of thing. And then we go into more detail as we go along. And usually, this is very spoiler-free. I doubt we would, you know, break that commitment.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything in here that would warrant us to go full spoilers, but we generally try to keep it on the down low.
Yeah. Anyways, so we'll start off with Joey. Go ahead.
All right, so Blue Beetle is, I think, a very solid superhero movie. Jaime, I think, is a very likable protagonist. His whole relationship with his family is very solid, and probably one of the best parts of the movie. The fight scenes are pretty awesome, especially towards the end, the big climax. They do have a bit of creativity in there. I will say, I think some of the cinematography is great. I think the only maybe downside is probably just some pacing issues, as well as a bit of the writing, especially when it comes to our big bad. They kind of feel a bit too cartoony and also underdeveloped at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like there could have been more to do with the villain, but besides that, I think it's a very solid superhero movie, and it does seem like a step in the right direction in terms of maybe DC's tone when it comes to movies.
Mm-hmm. All right, and those are your thoughts. Now it's time for my thoughts. So, Blue Beetle, as a comic book fan and someone who always looks forward to a little bit of representation here and there, I am glad to say I am very pleased with this movie. While it may not be a perfect movie, I feel it is a movie that aims and reaches the audience it needs to reach. That being said, there are some issues with it I do agree with. Pacing issues, dialogues, is especially in that first act, were a little rough. But at the end of the day, the heart of the movie is centered around Jaime and his relationship with his family, and it's really the core of what this movie is about, and very much about why that's important to him. The villain herself, while being cartoony, I do feel is a little lacking in some areas. I do wish it was a little more impactful, especially what they wanted to go with. But yes, I do fully enjoy this movie. So, obviously, the first thing I'm going to talk about is Blue Beetle himself, Jaime Reyes. I love that guy.
Yeah, I think he's a very likable protagonist, you know?
Yeah, he goes through a lot of stuff. And when I mean that his relationship with his family is very important, to him, it's sort of like the big theme of the movie is the importance of family, especially with him and like sort of the culture that he's grew up on, and as to why that's important. Like we all seen the from the trailers, like they're out there supporting him at his like first job.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it's like it's a very tight-knit group. I don't remember the names of most of the actors, but they all do very well in their parts. George Lopez is the crazy uncle, conspiracy guy, and I will say, like, it definitely just feels like there are some moments where it just feels like George Lopez is just kind of hamming it up a little bit.
Yeah, especially early in the beginning of the movie, but he at the same time he has this very like emotional speech to give Jaime, where that really like hits the core on like for me, and I was like, yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, I you know, when George Lopez's character is allowed to like actually do like other things besides being comic relief, yeah, it does actually hit well, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, not to say that George Lopez can't act or anything, but I mean, you know, it's like, all right, yeah, all right, this is a good role for the character to have, right?
And like probably one of my favorite members of the family was probably the dad. The dad himself was like really sort of like very emotional and very supportive of his son. It's great to see such positive father figures nowadays, kind of stuff.
Yeah, like he's a very he's like the wise dude, always like saying like, hey, listen, we're a family, we can do anything, you know, as long as we stick together, kind of thing, you know, and which is like core of the movie, right? Like, you know, like power of friendship and family and all that stuff.
And the reason that we say like the idea of family is important, especially for Jaime, is that it's meant to contrast the villain's whole thing, because it's like, and we'll go into it more, I guess, but like, because the main villain, she's Cord, but not, you know, Ted Cord, kind of thing, but like.
Your Ted Kord's sister, I believe, I forget her first name, because, yeah, because she has her niece, Jenny Kord, who is the daughter of Ted Kord,
The second Blue Beetle.
yeah, who's very, like, against her aunt's ways of running the company, pretty much going full on, putting a front of being like, oh, we're, like, you know, a good like beneficiary, you know, we help all these places and whatever, but it's like actually kind of like a military like weapons engineering company, and she's like, hey, we got to stop making these weapons, and like her aunt's like, man, no.
But we need to make money.
Yeah, like
Yeah, so like it's very much like that, and like I said, like Jaime himself is very likable. Like he goes through a lot of things, especially when it comes to with the armor, with the scarab itself. And like I'll be honest, I'm very impressed with the way they did the scarab. There's some things that I'm like, I kind of see why you deviate away from that. But there's something about like, you know, the comics guy in me that makes me go like, ah, I kind of wish he kept that. Because like in the comics, so Jaime in the comics is the third Blue Beetle after so Ted Kord was the second one. Dan Gareth was the first Blue Beetle. Then yeah, the Ted Kord second Blue Beetle, and there were some nods to the fact to how Ted Kord was actually in the comics through this movie. Very very little, not like 100% accurate kind of shit. But there's some stuff, and I'll talk about that later. But yeah, in the comics, he's the third Blue Beetle. He takes over after Ted Kord's death. And he's kind of like a lost kid, because he's like, oh, what do I do? I got these powers out of nowhere. I just happened upon them. But like, you know, he kind of grows with him, you know, becomes his own hero kind of stuff. So you kind of see a bit of that in here. But the thing that makes a difference is that the Scarab itself is very antagonistic at points in the comics, while in the movie they make it more, you know, I don't want to say complacent, but like willing to work with him, I guess. You know?
Right, like I get what I guess what you're trying to say is that in the comics, it's it takes a while for Jaime to like get control of the Scarab, while in the movie, like They're like initially it's like, oh, it kind of does its own thing, mainly just to protect the user. But eventually they sort of get on sort of an equal. They sort of come to a quick understanding, like, hey, listen, I am in control, kind of thing, right?
And I totally understand why they kind of deviated from that, because then it's one of those things, and we've talked about this before when it comes to films, right? There's some things you need to cut and some things you need to change because we only have a certain amount of time. So like to change it up, to make it more of the way it is, I totally understand. But there's a part of me that was like, man, I kind of want to see him like struggle with that, with that Scarab and shit, man. But that's why I have like other things like Young Justice and shit. So it's not that big of a deal, a big of an issue for me. But yeah, in terms of like, I'm gonna butcher his name because like, because it's very like Latin American.
The main actor, like
Solo.
Zolo, yeah.
Yeah, so like it's very much like that the authentic Mexica, name.
Yeah.
No, all kind of shit. Yeah, we're Latinos. Yeah, but it's honestly like I really hope there's more movies for him because he was very much because he was literally, the star of the show.
Yeah, he had a lot
I know he's
of
the main character,
the
but like man, he stole he's he in the same way as like you would see like I guess Iron Man being played by Robert Downey Jr. and so on and so forth. You can see Solo playing Jaime Reyes.
Yeah, like he definitely fits the role very well. Yeah, like, and I will say this about the Blue Beetle suit too, because I know like newer incarnations have him like have this weird mouth thing going on with it, which
Yeah,
kind of looks,
in the comics he has a mouth.
yeah, which I don't know, I always look kind of weird, so it is interesting that he kind of just went with more
Like a mask going like a moving up and down, kind of
yeah.
like a Spider-Man thing.
Yeah.
But like you can see the mouth, like the what would be the mouth movement,
Yeah.
because you see the jawline move. Yeah, no, I like that. I like that a lot, because like the mouth thing, it's done in comics because it's so that you can see there being like also kind of like it's kind of like an exosuit, so it kind of makes sense. But like you can kind of understand like why that would look so goofy in like a live action. Like, don't get me wrong. I like it when there's like goofiness to the costumes, and when it's translated well, it's translated well. But like, no.
Yeah, I feel like if they try to go with that, I feel like it'd be a little too like uncanny valley.
Yeah, but it does give it a good tokusatsu feel.
That too, which,
Yeah.
by the way, I will say the last the final battle does have that tokusatsu vibe a little bit,
Oh yeah.
which I won't lie, like that's kind of fun.
Yeah, which was funny because I think that's part of the reason that it was designed that way for Jaime. They were much like, hey, this is pretty cool. Why don't you add that in there? I may be wrong, but hey, if I hope I'm not, because little borrowing here and there. Obviously now we talked about Jaime and his family. Your thoughts on the villain?
I do think she's all right as a villain. I would really like to remember what her name
Aside from her last being, name being Cord.
Yeah, like there is like a bit of implication that she might have had a hand in the fate of the second Blue Beetle, which is kind of interesting, considering their family and stuff. But besides that, she definitely feels a little over the top, kind of just typical, I'm rich and evil,
Victoria.
yeah, Victoria Cord. And yeah, I think she's okay. Definitely not not really anything to write home about. She does have, her motivations and stuff, but she did feel just a little bit underdeveloped and a bit over the top in some areas. Like, it feels like they could have done more with her in terms of like, oh, make her a bit more interesting instead of just being like, ah, I'm just rich and evil, and I just wanna use the Scarab to make my own army of like kind of Blue Beetles, but not really, you know?
Yeah, the superhero villain in this one is Omak, which, I mean, it fits the role, but yeah, it's all right. Well, it has a nice connection to between that and I think it was Crisis on Infinite Earths was the first one, and Infinite Crisis was the second one, then it was Final Crisis, and then some other shit.
so many goddamn
damn crisis. Yeah, I mean, that's how it started off, right? I mean, and it's funny because you know Arne was talking about how they include Ted Kord's a lot of stuff from the comics with Ted Kord, because there's a moment, I'm not gonna go that deep into it, where they kind of allude to something that happened to him in the comics, but obviously that doesn't happen in this movie, which I find, I don't know, it's a really cool nod to the comic, but I felt like, hey, you didn't really need to put that in there, because in the comics, Ted Kord is killed by Maxwell Lord, you know, the character that Pedro Pascal plays in Wonder Woman 1984, and because of that, it's what lets Wonder Woman snap his neck. Shit, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
you're not getting that.
No,
Pedro Pascal is not gonna show up out of, is gonna show up out of nowhere and shoot a man in the head.
Also, like, this is as far as we understand, this is part of the new continuity, where we don't even know if. Well, I mean, it's highly likely
she's not coming back.
Gal Gadot might not come back as Wonder Woman. Although there's rumors that she might be. Again, we'll get into that in a whole separate thing. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I also would agree that doesn't really make sense. Mm. Although, I think out of all the other references out there, we do know that I think Jaime went to Gotham University, I think.
Which is nice. I like that.
And we do hear, a name drop of Bruce Wayne on the TV.
No, it is.
As well as, obviously, name drops of, say, Superman stuff. But we don't see them. No. Which I think, obviously, it's on purpose. So,
and we can talk about more of that later, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you with the fact. Because, there was, I felt like she was very, I'm not saying she was a terrible villain, but it's, her motivations were very, but then, as we were talking about it, it was like, oh, no, this is her motivation. And I was like, wait, what? I don't want to, oh, wait, you're right. Because there's a passing detail of her being, not chosen to go over the company because they chose her brother, Ted.
Yeah, it's something that Jenny mentions, Victoria and her father ran the company for a while, but then when their father died, in his will, he passed the company ownership to Ted Kord, not Victoria,
who didn't really do much of work.
Yeah, wasn't as involved in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, that's sort of one of her big motivations of I'm returning the company back to what it was,
because
basically Ted Kord went with the more humanitarian / what's the word I'm looking for? Philanthropic approach to Kord
Industries,
helping out all these other stuff, while Victoria was more we got to go back to making weapons and stuff. That's where the real money's at,
And, there's, this really cool, this really cool, commentary on some stuff. There's a lot of commentary in this movie. Some of them done well, some of them done, need a little work, but I get what you're going with.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of commentary, I was like, oh, this is really good commentary. But I think it's overshadowed by some of the stuff that, Victoria does. It's sort of yeah, she is a woman scorned, because of, social standings and all this stuff, but that's not her reasoning. But it half the time, it doesn't seem like that's what it is.
Yeah, I would argue that it just feels more it's there as, a reason, but they never focus fully on it because she's so kind of over-the-top, bad guy. That it's like, oh, she's probably just a dick, you know?
Yeah. And, like, you're going to get that feeling from her, and I think that was, like, one of the intentions, but, like, the fact that they try to give her a reason as to why she's also doing that such things, you know, it doesn't work. Right? Once you realize that thing, her motivation of the fact that she was, like, you know, not given the company because, obviously, she is not a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, we can assume that the dad was mostly in charge with the daughter, you know, with her doing, like, some of the work, too.
Yeah.
Right? And he was like, no, I'm just going to give it to my son because, you know, misogyny.
Yeah.
But it's like, you never, but like, when you realize that, but also, like, there's this aspect of her, it doesn't, like, connect well, or it's not conveyed as well, and it starts to crumble on itself, right? Now, I may be wrong in my opinion, but, you know,
That's how it came across,
that's
right?
That's how it came across, because, like, there was an itch to me. I was like, something about this lady doesn't feel, like, right. Like, she is not, like I said, overly cartoony, but not a terrible villain, right?
Yeah, like, more forgettable than anything, which,
yeah.
I mean, that's probably what you don't want to have your villain be. You want your villain to be sort of, like, I don't know, because obviously, like, the thing about it, too, is that it feels like she barely has any interactions with Jaime, other than, he has the scarab, I want the scarab,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of a means to an end, like, who cares?
Yeah. There's never, like, a moment where she's was like, oh, aren't you that one kid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was your name again? Jamie?
Yeah, because they do have a meeting beforehand,
yeah.
But she's obviously doesn't really care much about the kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, she doesn't even know his name.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just one of those things where, like, it feels like there should be some sort of confrontation, but it's more like, I guess it feels more like Victoria's more of, like, Jenny's issue to deal with, which I guess makes sense, because, like, again, a lot of the movie is just straight up, like, family, like, you know, the importance of family and the familial bonds, and certainly the difference between Jaime and his relationship with his family, and Jenny and Victoria's relationship with each other, you know?
Yeah, and it's very, like, this is what I'm saying, like, when you bring that into question and you think about some of the motivations for her but some of her actions, it's like, it feels really weird, right? Like, at the end of the day, she's not meant to, I don't think she's meant to be that sympathetic. Well, no, if you're going with that logic as to why she didn't get the company, it kind of supposed to make you feel sympathetic, but, like, her actions, you know, it's weird, right?
I mean, I guess you can argue, like, because the thing is, the way it's mentioned, like,
it's such a throwaway line.
Yeah, it's such a throwaway line that you kind of feel like it's not supposed to make her sympathetic. Like, okay, yeah, sure, maybe that's a reason, but, like, it's not enough of a reason to make you feel sympathetic that, oh, yeah, no, this lady is just bad.
or any form of anything. It's just, like, a throwaway line, but it's, like, at the same time, there's, like, an aspect of truth to that, and, like, a very good reason for her to be the way she is, you know, aside from, like, being an asshole. And, like, there's, like, this, I don't know, that's what I'm saying. Like, once you realize that, it kind of falls apart on itself, right? And I don't think people are going to notice it.
It's more, I think what people are going to notice is just, like, she's kind of bland, and that's it.
Yeah.
But with the line that said, it feels like, oh, she could have been more interesting of a villain, but the movie doesn't take advantage of it, so she still just ends up being bland and kind of forgettable, you know?
Yeah. One thing I will note that I really liked about this movie, though I feel like part of it was kind of just like a really weird showcase at the same time, was how much they talk about pop culture from Mexico.
Yeah, like, so,
like, there's a reason wearing a Chaplin Cold Dollar shirt.
Yeah, there's a lot of references to various pop culture stuff that, like, Mexican or Mexican-Americans would know.
Chicano, Kasha, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, some of it that, I mean, it works for what it is. I know there's, like, a reference to the soap opera where I'm like, where you're like, oh, yeah, I know that, and I'm just like, what the fuck is that again? There's so many, they all look the same to me, you know, at a certain point.
Because
so
you didn't watch it, you were still, like, a kid, like, I remember watching it.
Like, yeah, because in my brain, I'm just like, they all look the same to me, dude, like.
Like, I barely cared when I was even at that age.
Yeah, you know, it's just a bunch of melodrama of, like.
They even referenced the Mexican Dracula.
I think it was that one scene with the candles and stuff, right? Yeah, with they were watching on the TV.
Yeah. I was like, you mean to tell me, like, all these things that, like, we grew up on and know of ourselves all just happen to be on the same channel?
Well, it was not on the same channel. She's just flipping through the channel.
Yeah, I mean, like on the same time slot?
I don't know, I guess.
I liked it, but I was just like, what the hell? I felt like we stopped the movie for a second.
A little bit.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, I feel like, it's just kind of like one of those, like, oh, that's kind of a neat thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, I think it works in the context of the movie. I think it works most part. I don't think it ever takes away from, like,
No.
That stuff. Especially for, like, an American audience. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, that's just
more. Yeah, that was one of those, like, I guess it was, I wouldn't say a cameo, but it's one of those, like, Easter eggs for people. Like, if you grew up with that kind of stuff, you would know it. You recognize it immediately. Like I said, there's stuff that even you would recognize.
I like how you pointed out that there was a bag of Takis in the background, and I'm just like, so?
I was like, oh shit, some Takis.
It's like, okay, yeah, sure, I guess, yes, Mexican-Americans do eat a lot of spicy snacks, what's the point here? I know. I mean, listen, if there was, like, actual, like, snacks from Mexico, then I'd be like, okay, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, what was it called? It's on the tip of my tongue. Is the one with the little clown head?
Yeah, I think they're called Sabritas.
Yes, yeah. No. I'm talking about, like, the candy, like, the one that was on the
tip. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And Dumtelines and all that shit.
Yeah.
Fucking random-ass Bimbo in there.
I mean, to be fair, I feel like Bimbo would work.
Yeah. I remember seeing a lot of Bimbo.
You know, that's a whole bread thing. Yeah.
Oh my god.
But yeah, like I said, you know, it doesn't take away from the movie. It's kind of one of those things of, like, it's a blink if you miss it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fine. It adds a lot of, like, I guess, interesting layers.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jaime is Mexican American, and they do sort of lean into it. You know,
mm-hmm.
like. Like, obviously, you have the whole, like, grandma who doesn't speak a whole lot of English, speaks Spanish all the time,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. That happens in a lot of movies about Mexicans or Hispanics in general.
Yeah. She did the one thing I'm like, oh, damn, that hits home.
Sadly, there are no chanclas being thrown, so sorry.
That would have been hilarious.
You know, like, sorry for all the people who thought that was going to happen.
Instead of her giving her, they should have found a weapon that was just a chancla. She was just, like, rummaging around, like, I need my chancla.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I guess to be fair, what they did do with her is also just kind of interesting.
Yeah, they did.
But anyways, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think what other stuff I'm trying to think about,
mm-hmm.
to talk about, because I think the villain was definitely probably the weakest part.
Mm-hmm.
I do think some of the pacing was a little...
Mm.
off in some moments, because I feel like the first, like, part kind of drags on a little bit.
It did. It was my least favorite part. There were moments where I'm just like, oh my god, please, just can we move on, kind of stuff. Like, I'm not in a terrible way. I was like, okay, I get it. I mean, I don't find this funny at all, kind of stuff.
Yeah, because I think you were kind of like some of the dialogue choices of some.
There were weird, like, things about the dialogue. I've just never been a real fan of, like, we're speaking English and then we randomly throw some Spanish slang in there, and I'm like, not in a natural way. It felt very, like, were forced, like, like, it didn't feel genuine, I guess would be the thing I'm trying to say. Like, it didn't feel, like, natural. It felt very, like,
Trying too hard to
yeah.
incorporate Spanish into, like,
Yeah, but
you
as the movie went on, I was like, okay, now that's how you do it. Yeah, especially when
can.
it came with like the older family members, like the mom, the grandma, the uncle, the dad, kind of stuff like that. I was like, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, and that was just that was for me. But like for me, I my favorite part was probably the second the middle part of the film where it felt like a totally different movie. Like there was like some stuff I'm like, man, this is tense, and I'm loving it. Yeah, and you know the third arc was almost there, but I felt like there was some part of it that was sloshed. I think you mentioned like there was a lot of like moments where it felt like we stopped for a second, like the it was building up, stop, like a l not only like a quick stop, it was like a little bit of a long stop, and it was like keep going and stuff like that. But no, I like I said, I didn't like it. The question is whether or not this is part of the actual DC universe or anything like that.
I know James Gunn has mentioned that it technically is, but the film itself does its best to like acknowledge that it is part of the DC universe, but not like fully commit to what exactly, which
It's, I think it's in the same vein as like Peacemaker and stuff like that, right? Where it's part of the DC universe, but not, maybe not the exact one.
Well, I mean, we know that Peacemaker is getting a second season, and as far as we can only assume that it's gonna be part of the new continuity, right?
We can
So,
only assume.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of figure. And as to, I guess, the other big elephant in the room of like, hey, this movie might bomb. What does that mean for Zach? And I was like, sir. Well, there's probably some people that are thinking that. What does this mean for James Gunn and the future of the DC Cinematic Universe? Are we already, facing a dud and stuff like that? And it's like, I would say that given the fact that Blue Beetle started off production in like the in-between
Yeah.
of sort of transitioning of DC heads and stuff, like I wouldn't consider it like James Gunn has his vision, right? And it will start with Superman Legacy, and that will be sort of like the actual real test of whether or not James Gunn's vision for the DC universe on film will actually work. Because I mean, I know some people were like saying, "Oh, Flash is bad because it's part of James Gunn's thing," or even though it's not.
No.
Like the Flash, just it adds, it's its own bag of worms.
Yeah, that was more of like we just need to release this. It's just get it out. And it performed terribly. Well, I feel like Blue Beetle will eventually perform well, because at least there'll be a good word. It just needs a good word of mouth, and it's probably gonna be. And you know, sometimes movies take a while for it to, you know.
I mean, similar thing happened with, I think, that Pixar film, Elemental.
Elementals, yeah. Yeah, everyone
Yeah,
was like, oh, it bombed. I'm like,
it
oh,
bombed,
it
and
made its way
then,
back.
I mean, granted, it had help with overseas audiences,
Yeah.
especially from Korea, because from what I understand, the director was Korean, and like the whole story is kind of like just a metaphor for how he grew up in the States,
How she grew up, yeah.
or he or she, or whatever. I don't know. I don't remember the actual gender of the.
I'm pretty sure it's a she.
Yeah, because the main character is a woman, right?
Yeah.
The point is, like that, and that kind of resonated with a lot of Korean audiences overseas, and that helped boost sales. So, I mean, we don't know what. I mean, Blue Beetle, I believe, only had a budget of like 120 million, and then maybe add like marketing and stuff, about 24,
Yeah.
240 million. So.
Yeah, because the way it works is that you got to make not only the money back for the production, but also the money for marketing, which are two separate payments, right?
Yeah, as well as sharing profits with theater chains and all that stuff. The point is like, Blue Beetle always, I don't, was, at least I feel like budgeted well enough so that I don't think it would be like that big of a loss unless
No.
it's like super catastrophic. But I do agree that I feel like good word of mouth, because I mean, honestly, from looking at reviews and stuff, it does seem like for the most part, people were kind of leaning towards it being, yeah, it's solid. You know, it's good. You know, it's not the best thing ever, but, like, it's good. It's not the Flash.
It's definitely not the Flash.
It ain't no Black Adam, you know.
It's fucking Black Adam.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. And, like, those movies were made in between, either in between the you know, like, the transfer of power or before the transfer of power, but, you know. But Blue Beetle in itself, a lot of people were writing on it, a lot of people wanted to see it. I remember because it was supposed to be originally for Max only.
Yeah, it was one of those projects that was originally going to be on HBO Max, now just called Max because Warner Discovery is a bunch of idiots. And yeah, it was one of the movies that were like, hey, you know what, no, let's give this the proper feature film thing, right?
Yeah, let's release it in theaters. Because a lot of vocal people, and, you know, they'll show up. Don't worry. But yeah, what is your rating for this movie?
I am leaning towards, I would say, 7.5.
I'm in agreement of that. Like it's a, there's aspects about the movie that I feel just didn't work really that well, or, like, you know, it didn't reach the height it wanted to. But it still has, like, that sort of heart and charm that I feel like it needed. That's my reasoning, but yes, I do agree 7.5. I don't know what your reasoning is.
No, yeah, I think the villain, because I feel like for the most part, the pacing was kind of off for a little bit, but I can kind of forgive it for a little bit, but it really is just more of the villain being kind of just bland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the OMAC, the guy in the OMAC suit is kind of interesting. But, like, you only get to see, like, his full backstory by the end, and it's like, oh, okay. Like,
I guess.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's a solid, like, henchman villain kind of thing for the most part. But, yeah, like, the villains aren't really that interesting, so it just feels, like, I don't know.
I'll say this. When you look like something that came out of straight out of Anthem, you're already in trouble with me.
Yeah, that was the funny thing about that, like, huh, this guy looks like he's been ripped out of Anthem. You know? Remember that game? That was supposed to be the next big thing?
No. Exactly. But yeah, no, I think 7.5 is a really good one. But here's the thing. We give it 7.5, but in our hearts, Jaime hit.
Yeah, I won't lie. Yeah, like, Jaime is a cool guy.
Yeah, you know? I want to see more of him for my boy. Mi gente, amigo. Mi gente.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do. I probably would agree with that. I think, for the most part, if you wanted to do your best to make a likable superhero, I mean, Blue Beetle definitely has all those qualities for me.
It has all those qualities, and you want to see more. But yeah, that's the end of the episode, guys. Be sure to follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're most active on Instagram. And there's a link tree on Instagram for all the podcasts that we're officially part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, all the like. And a link to YouTube for your audio listeners out there who want to put a face to the voice. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe. We have a Patreon. Really just there for show and any form of support. But yeah, Blue Beetle is... Go watch it. It's a really good movie. It's really good, really solid. You'll enjoy your time. Now, all I need is for Marvel to do Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider.
Well, I mean, technically they did do it in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, but I know what you mean.
I want him in that screen, bro.
Like,
I want him up there.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool. I mean, listen, we're bringing back a bunch of, like, characters from other, like, Marvel, like, TV show stuff, like Daredevil and stuff, so I am still kind of surprised that we haven't, considering at the time, like, that was actually good reception for Robbie.
Oh, yeah, no, Robbie's always been very popular.
You know, so...
He beat out all the other, not Johnny and Danny Ketch. Mm-hmm. More so, not other, like, not Johnny Blaze Ghost Riders.
Yeah.
I can go through the list, and the only three people that pop up is
Johnny Blaze.
Johnny Cage is MK. The other boy, Danny Ketch, and Robbie. So, yeah. Anyways, guys, yeah, have a good one. Peace.